You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. You're enjoying sex, but don't see a spiritual connection. In Francis Moore's highly acclaimed book, The Peril of Silence, Confronting the Disregard for the Spirituality-Sexuality Connection, she addresses what some have called one of the most important questions in our culture today. Is there a connection between spirituality and sexuality? And Francis makes the case that if we don't view the two in concert, we're at great risk. She explains that sex is not just an activity, rather it's God's design for a powerfully, pleasurably private experience to be enjoyed within marriage. It's a courageous and honest recounting of her personal story, the revelation of long past sexual immorality, which still held in her spiritual bondage, still holding her in spiritual bondage to this day. Frances is a retired librarian and teacher, a mentor, certified Therapon belief therapist, a lifelong Bible student. She's taught ladies' Bible studies, Sunday school, children's Bible classes. She's organized and made presentations at workshops and retreats, a resident of New Orleans, and author of The Peril of Silence, Confronting the Disregard for the Spirituality-Sexuality Connection. And Frances Moore is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Frances. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you, and it's good to be on board.
Well, it's such an important book, and let's go back to the beginning on this. It's interesting, the prompt that you received to write this book. Explain where the idea for the book, the inspiration, the prompt came from.
Well, actually, I'd had an experience with the Lord just trying to find out why I was not feeling as if I was touching ground. And so I simply asked the Lord, October 31st, 1996, tell me what is going on. Show me my heart. And the Lord simply said to me, you were a closet prostitute. It took me a minute to just kind of massage that and
yes,
to make the connection between the question that I asked and the response that I got. And so when I decided that, well, yeah, whatever God says to me is true. So thus then, about a month later, as I was doing my meditation, I was prompted with this thought that there is a peril of silence. There is a disregard for the spirituality-sexuality connection, particularly in the African-American community. And so, and you ought to do something with this. And I shared this with folk, and then I just started chronicling what God was teaching me. But I actually didn't start out to write a book. I just was chronicling what he was teaching me.
Well, it's interesting, the beginning of the book, and the book is The Peril of Silence, Confronting the Disregard for the Spirituality-Sexuality Connection by Frances Moore, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon. Of course, you can link on directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about the format of the book, because it's laid out in such a way that it gives you information and allows you to do something with that information. It's laid out in a very helpful manner for the reader. Talk about how that format came about.
Well, that format came about because I just felt the Lord nagging me to get the book out, and I just asked him, what do you want me to do, how you want me to do it? And while walking, the thought came to me for doing an academic piece, doing a curriculum. And I said, oh, I can do that because I come out of academia. So therefore, there are lectures in the book, and there is a discussion guide that follows that. Because the idea is not just for people to get information, but to be able to do something with the information, and thus an action plan and part of that. And so all during the book, I'm alluding to the fact that you've got to do something with this information rather than just getting more head knowledge.
You know, and that's interesting because that sets the book apart from others that are out there. So often you read something and it's like, okay, this is great information. How do I implement this information in my life? And you connect A and B, don't you? You give us the connection, and you force us to do something, to at least contemplate doing something with the information.
Exactly. Basically, because that's what happened with me. Once I accepted the fact that, well, yes, I was a closet prostitute, the idea that it was, then now why am I getting this revelation? Why am I just now? Why is this a connection between my feeling suspended in space? And so therefore I need to do something with that. And so I start then the process of writing what God was teaching me and then just going back, looking at this, and then looking at how God had brought me out of that, and to just be specific rather than general about what it was that had happened, and then to look at the action steps that I needed to take to be totally removed from that in such a way that it honors the Lord and that it helps me and helps others.
And what's so important is the fact that this is something that you've gone through. So as you're trying to help somebody, this is something that you know firsthand because you've been there. The book is The Peril of Science, Confronting the Disregard for the Spirituality-Sexuality Connection by Frances Moore, our guest on the program. If you're Googling that, that's Moore, M-O-O-R-E. What other reason did you consider writing the book? What were some of the other reasons that went into this?
Well, actually, it was a bookstore manager that I knew as a student, and I was talking to her about what God was teaching me, and she kept saying, "Miss Moore, you need to write that. You need to put that out there." So finally, in 2014, I had a conversation with two pastors, and both of them said to me, "The only responsibility you have is to get out of you what God has placed in you." And one pastor in particular, when I allowed him to look at the manuscript, he kept flipping through it. He kept saying, "This is a book. This is a book. You need to get it out there. And you really need to get it out there before somebody else gets it, takes credit for it or whatever." And for me, that was not really an issue, whether they took credit for it or not, but more that there was an opportunity to minister to people along this line. And I was convicted by him that, yes, this is something that can help somebody, and you'd be surprised at who gets helped. And therefore, as a result of his conversation with me, he suggested that I would remove the racial designation from the title, and therefore in the African-American community was left off the book because he said it was not race-related.
You know, to be effective, you really had to share your thoughts, tell your stories. I mentioned in the beginning, courageous and honest recounting. How difficult was that for you? You do detailed testimony from back in 1996. You tell the story from 2014. How difficult was that for you to open up as you did to be the most effective in reaching other people?
Well, it wasn't difficult by 2014 because in 1996, I had started sharing it to the extent that when God gave me the revelation of what I was, I actually called my son, who was not living with me at the time, and said to him, "I have something I need to share with you." Because for some reason, I just knew that I was going to be sharing this story. And sometimes, even now, as I review it, I get a little goose pimples or whatever to realize that, you know, I actually said this and put this out there. And what I say to folk is that if God is telling you to tell your story, then tell it. But if God is not telling you to tell your story, no matter how good it might be or how bad or how terrible, or what, then you shouldn't do it. And my relief on this is that I am clear that I told what God wanted me to tell, because as I sat down and started just writing what God was telling me, I wrote just what I was being told. And so, therefore, having shared it publicly with ladies in a Bible class and then at workshops and retreats, when it was time then to put the book together, then I was clear that I needed to tell those stories as well.
The title of the book is The Peril of Silence. Why is silence so damaging, particularly in this situation?
Well, because we just kind of hold it in. And one of the things that has really come to me as I've looked at the Me Too situation, to know that people are struggling with issues, particularly of a sexual nature, because I'm clear that folk who have not had these experiences have not a clue as to what it does to people, and particularly as children. My experience actually started before I went to elementary school, when I was molested, and I really just kind of put that in the background, but then in the later years, when things started coming to me, I'm saying that, okay, here I am being promiscuous, yet I would tell anybody, sex was for me for something the Lord did not have to create. So it was not until I had to deal with that, then I started thinking, well, why am I feeling this way about this? And so that experience that I had back in those days, before I went to elementary school, really impacted me. And the fact that I kept it silent, the silence didn't talk about it or whatever, it just had me on this piece of a missing piece here and just really not knowing what that piece was. And actually, it was not until I asked the Lord in 1996 to show me my heart that that came to the surface. But yet I'd been struggling, trying to figure out, you know, why am I promiscuous? Because I don't even like sex. You know, it's not something me God needed to create, and I don't ever remember being a virgin. So it was not until I went back to that experience that I could explain and share with anybody what that was. So there was like this void, this something that was missing, and I just couldn't put my finger on it.
What makes your book, this resource, different than the others out there? I mentioned it's unique. Why do you feel that it's unique?
Well, I feel like it's unique, first of all, because I actually have lived this experience and I actually tell it. And the other thing is this, that I'm saying to folks, I don't want you to hang out at my story or at my testimony, but to actually see what it is that God did that brought me out of that. And to say that if he brought me out of this, something very shameful, something that I'm not happy that is a part of my testimony as a Christian, but it is, in that God helps us with whatever we struggle with so that we can help other people. And so since I had used specific techniques and things to actually work through, then I just know that if other people do this or something similar, that they will be able to come through that as well. Share that, because God never wastes our experiences, that they are designed for us to share with people so that they can get help just as you have gotten help.
Why is the testimony, I think you just touched on this, the testimony of salvation significant to this topic? Why did you feel this was important for you to write about?
Because without knowing who I am in Christ, then I would not have been able to say this. It would have been just because my story is a part of his story as he is working in and through me. So in order to be sure that people understood what I meant by salvation, you know, and that is coming to know Jesus Christ and having a relationship with him, then I felt important to connect that with that, because if I'm talking about what God is doing, then I have to talk about who he is and who I am in relationship to him. And so, therefore, I use the message of salvation to do that. And I was so convicted about that in the book I put a 5-point salvation experience in there, how that you can actually go through the process of coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
With us on the program is Frances Moore. If you're Googling Frances, her last name is spelled M-O-O-R-E. The book is The Peril of Silence, Confronting the Disregard for the Spirituality-Sexuality Connection. A couple minutes left on the program. And you mentioned the religious connection, referring readers to the Bible. How is the gospel related to this topic?
Because without the good news of Jesus Christ, knowing that he forgives us for whatever it is that we're doing and that he uses those in our lives to help people, then without knowing the good news that Jesus Christ actually came to save us and from ourselves, really, because it was sin that caused Jesus to come into the world, and so sexuality and our misuse of it and abuse of it is sin, but it's no different than any other sin that we might commit. And so to recognize that as something that Jesus came to take care of is a way then to understand that no matter what it is that we feel like we have done or think about or whatever, that God came, sent Jesus to take care of that as well. The gospel says that, you know, Jesus came to the world to save men. And so he saves us from many things.
A couple minutes left. What's this been like for your ministry, especially in dealing with women? What impact has this had on your ministry?
Well, I've gotten so many folk who've actually called and said, thank you for sharing your story. And since you've shared this way, then we can, because people know me from a different angle. They don't know me from the sexual piece that I shared. And so what I've been able to say to people is this: I am the same person I was before I told that information. So that gives people then the opportunity to actually share and to really be helped with it and help others in that process. So, and when I do retreats and when I do workshops, I usually always share a portion of that testimony, even if I don't share it all, or a portion of that story. So, and my whole piece is that God is no respecter of persons. What he has done for me and done through me, he can do the same through you and for you.
You have written this book, and working with Reader's Magnet, I know it, getting the word out, the book out into the public so you can impact lives in a positive way. What has that experience been like for you working with Reader's Magnet?
It has really been a very helpful experience, and basically in terms of helping me to see that I've had some narrow thoughts about the exposure of the book and just feeling like, you know, God would just miraculously put the book out there.
Yes.
But then to recognize that he does have other methods and persons and institutions and organizations that can help you, and they are out there for that as well. This experience has been an experience of a lifetime for me, just in terms of working with someone else, sharing the information. Even though it's out there in the book, it's another thing to be talking to somebody that you don't even know, that's in another state, that's across the waves, and just to share that information and to be able to share that freely, and then to have the reception, the kind of reception that I've gotten from them and the help to put it out there, to make me just think a little bit more about why it is I actually wrote the book and why it is I need to allow the book to just go further in terms of ministering to people.
Well, your courage, your honesty is impacting people not only in the United States, as you mentioned, worldwide as well. The book is The Peril of Silence, Confronting the Disregard for the Spirituality-Sexuality Connection. The author is Frances Moore. Book's available at Amazon, the usual places. You can link on directly to get information on Frances's book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Frances, an interesting conversation. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Congratulations on the success of the book and being able to touch so many people. Thank you for sharing with us on the program today.
Okay, thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure. Frances Moore, our guest. The book, once again, The Peril of Silence, Confronting the Disregard for the Spirituality-Sexuality Connection. Information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.